These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour here on Felger and Maz from our beautiful new Town for Tire Studios in Dorchester, 98.5 on your FM dial. And as usual, we simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. If you're watching on the simulcast side, you see our beautiful new home here at Beasley Media Group. We've got Red Sox on the board, thoughts on the team at the All-Star break in general we've been talking about, also some Patriots items. The ESPN has them with basically no good young talent. Ran a story of the best players at each position, ages 24 years and younger, giving you two or three names at each position, plus runners-up, and the Patriots don't have a single player on that list. Only team in the league without a single player on that list. Is there a dearth of young talent on the Patriots, and does that concern you? That's on the table, and Rob Gronkowski apparently will report next week without a holdout. What does that mean? Does that mean they have a new contract in place, or he's just agreed to play for what's already on the books? Who caved and why? That's what I want to know. Did Gronkowski cave and just show up? Did the team cave and give him more money? Somewhere in the middle, the team give him just a little bit more money, and how much is he worth? I wouldn't pay him like a receiver if I'm the Patriots. I don't blame him for not doing that. You want to make him the highest paid tight end? It's not that hard to do. Jimmy Graham makes the most average annual value right now at $10 million. Gronkowski's at $9 million. Give him $1.5 million extra bucks, and he's the highest paid tight end. Shouldn't that satisfy him?
Yep.
Okay, there you go.
And they should do it.
That's all you have to do.
Look, I can't say this enough times. In that league, the players don't have enough rights. And with the relative, you know, value of the contract compared to what they're actually written for, meaning that ultimately players get, what, 50 cents on the dollar? Because so little the money is guaranteed if you really weigh it all out. This is what you have to do. You have to threaten to hold out, and you have to get every nickel when you can. So this, to me, is not... you know, playing out of bounds or outside the lines or any of that. This is totally within his right in that league.
Okay, so everything on the table there with your phones, including Jim Murray's asterisk, which remains. Matt in Framingham joins us next. How you doing, Matt?
Hi, I'm actually in the car plowing through, like, biblical flood-like puddles. But I had two questions, one for Maz and Murray and one for Felger. So for Maz and Murray, how much impact do you think, you know, speaking of puddles, how much impact would you put David Price's next outing against the Yankees into deciding whether to start him as a starter or have him come out of the bullpen? And for Felger, I don't think it's going to be as kumbaya as you think. I mean, unless you're setting the bar at just 1 year that these guys will be together, because I'll tell you, after this year, it won't be these same guys. But the question I have for you, Felger, is what do you think is going to happen with Shaq Mason? Because with Norwell going for 5 years at 6.65, and Zach Martin, 84 mil, 40 guaranteed, you know, for the Jaguars and Cowboys, respectively, which are both running teams, which we are not. So we're definitely not paying Shaq Mason. So are we just going to play this last year and that's it, and then he goes? Or maybe try to make a trade?
I can't tell you what they're going to do. I'll tell you what they should do, and that is not pay him that money. I'm not paying guards that money.
No way.
I'll pay a tackle that money.
I mean,
I'm not paying a guard that money. Stupid.
Oh, you let him go, please. You don't pay him that. And that's an easy one.
Like, he's a good young player. I
feel like his reputation has exploded by 1,000
right?
Since the end of the season.
I mean, have you felt like that? Like there's some sort of special force on the inside of the Patriots line?
Yes. Yes. I don't know where that one has come from. It's completely gotten out of whack.
Well, no. You're saying you don't. Like, I'm saying to you, when I watch him play, like, I'm not focusing on guard play, but if they had an elite guard, I would sort of notice from time to time. Like, I used to notice Logan Mankins. I remember noticing Stephen Neal. Like, I don't know. Do you really notice Shaq Mason?
No. See, this is what I'm saying. And sorry, I got off track.
Yeah, no, but
so that's probably a good
thing. I'm saying maybe it's a good thing because he's not giving up sacks. And again, Bedard and the big fatties will come in here and tell you how well he plays. So I don't focus on it, but I don't know. I just think that's the wrong position to put too many dollars at.
Didn't he get beat in the Super Bowl?
Oh, not for the game-winning sack, was he?
Oh, I think that was him.
No, that was the right tackle.
Oh, I don't think so. I think he came inside.
Cue it up, Murray.
Google
it.
So this is the other thing. Like, but to me, the Shaq Mason phenomenon Like, his reputation has exploded here in the last couple of months.
It sure has.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
For a nice young guard.
Like, so.
But is he anything special all of a sudden?
I don't ever remember being there on third and one saying, run behind Mason.
Right. Right. I'm with you.
Like, where does this come from?
With Mankins, I used to say that. Or I remember Stephen Neal on, like, pulling. Like, he had a certain play they would run with him that was just money. Like, okay, run it behind Neal here on this pull. He would pull on this one play, I think. I can't remember. But, like, I've never felt that way with Shaq Mason.
No.
Ever.
And look, I mean, I even look at it beyond the guard. I felt Solder was a phenomenal run blocker. And so when you needed a yard, run left. Put the tight end over there, put Solder right in the middle between the guard and the tight end, and go. Get behind Solder and go. They go left with three guys and Solder in the middle, and I'm in. Like, let's line up and go behind Shaq Mason. All of a sudden, you need him, what, $15 million a year?
Okay, Price versus the Yankees. Is that his next start, by the way?
So, no, because he's pitching the week coming out. I'm out of the All-Star break against Detroit. So, yes, I put great stock in those starts against the Yankees for David Price. I absolutely do. And so if he pitches better against the Yankees, could it change my opinion? Yep. No question about it. Absolutely. Those are the only ones I care about.
So you're not so stubborn as to say that you can't change your mind.
No, I want to see him pitch well against a good team, specifically New York. That would mean everything to me. Absolutely.
I just want to stand corrected. That is Brandon Graham that destroys Shaq Mason, that sacks Tom Brady, that leads to the fumble.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All of a sudden, though.
This guy's John Hannah now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, we forget the last significant play he played on.
Oh, he gets abused, too.
He does. He gets absolutely smoked on that play.
Hell with him. I don't even want to put him in the good list anymore.
No, I thought it was just me. I said, have I missed this? Like, Mason has been this great player for the Patriots. Yeah, he's good. He's a good run blocker, and he's a good player. But highest paid guard in the league? Oh, go to hell.
Mike and Lynn, go ahead, Mike.
Hello.
Hello, Michael. You're on the air.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about this All-Star game. I mean, what is the big deal? Don't you realize that these guys look forward to this, number one?
They
being
do.
Being elected is a great accomplishment. Probably means money to them. And you just want them to say, can you imagine if you went up to Chris Sale and said, we want you to fake an injury?
Yeah, absolutely.
He would start tearing up uniforms. Maybe more than that. I mean,
Mike, how old are you?
How old am I?
Yes.
65.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. I don't mean to be an ageist, but I think the average age of the callers that have called up to defend the All-Star game, the average age has been death. I mean, they're all ancient. And Mike, I don't mean to rag on you. I'm not telling you like you're dying or anything. I'm just saying, like, they've all been geriatric.
Yes. They all have to take their teeth out at night.
When they were kids, the game meant something, so it still means something to them, I suppose. But it is an antiquated thing from a bygone era.
I mean, this is an obvious...
And if Chris Sale wanted to really pitch in this game, instead of preserving himself for the Red Sox, that would bug me, frankly.
Oh, it bugs me that he's in the game at all. Well, I don't know whether it's him or the team or both or whatever. They should have faked an injury here or come up with something. Really, make something up. I told you, anything you want. Sinus infection, ear infection, you get a little bit of vertigo.
No, you had it. Hemorrhoids or a swollen colon.
Yeah, inflamed colon.
Which I still want to know how you diagnose the inflamed colon.
Had some bad Mexican last night, Mexican food. You know, you never know if you get in a fight somewhere or something. But had some, had a bad meal with some bad spices, had an inflamed colon and had to take the game off.
Mike and Woburn joins us next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I do want to thank the people who carry the Felger and Maz simulcast, NBC Sports, for being the official home of the Rugby World Cup this year. Check your local listings this weekend. Second of all, I was just like you last night. I had no intention of watching the Home Run Derby. None at all. My son, after his baseball game, was like, Dad, because I asked him if he wanted to go out to eat. He's like, no, I want to go home. I want to watch the Home Run Derby. I'm like, oh, all right, great, fantastic. All just what I want to do. honestly, I had fun. I had fun watching it with him. It was a good show last night. It was entertaining. It didn't bother me so much that the star power wasn't there, because honestly, you're just watching to see guys just crush balls, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, if they really wanted to avoid the conflicts, wouldn't you just treat it like the NBA used to treat the three-point contest and just say, all right, these 10 guys have the longest home runs this year. They're coming to the home run derby. Let's just watch the Rob Deere and Willie Mo Pena clones just hit yackers. No one will care what their swing is like, because their swing stinks anyway, because they probably strike out 200 times a year, and just hit bombs. Then you don't have to worry about it. And he's pumped to see the All-Star game tonight. So, there, you know, there's one that's not in the death category.
Hey, Mike.
Looking forward to the game tonight.
How old's your son?
He's 10.
Okay. So, like, my 11-year-old was into it, too. And, Murray, you said earlier, you know, it's for kids. It is for kids. That's exactly what I would say.
Or Gramps.
Yeah. I mean, either or. Anybody in the middle, you're out.
But once you've seen one home run, you've seen them all. To sit there that long, oh, there goes another one. Look at that one. Look at that one. Look at that one. I guess maybe you can get some enjoyment with the kids crashing into each other, trying to make a catch in the outfield. Something like
and
that.
The people in the stands eating it when they try to catch it.
Yeah.
Like, on it, like, there's honestly some other stuff that it's sort of like, you know, like the Hanna-Barbera cartoons. There's always those little adult jokes that are mixed in that the kids don't really get. But, like, honestly, I had fun watching it last night. I'm looking forward to watching the game with him tonight, because I honestly, like, I like to hear what he said about the guys, you know, and to hear what, you know, how the game, like, he didn't know pretty much anybody except Bryce Harper, but he ended up loving Kyle Schwarber by the end of it. So, you know, it might be a good idea to do this, to get kids to know the lesser lights and have more interest in the game beyond just the stars, like Mike Trout, who has the same star power as a bench player from the NBA.
Back to your phone calls on Felger and Mazz right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I don't know how you heard that, but I mean, I'm definitely going to look at my future, for sure. I'm going to sit down the next couple of weeks and see where I'm at.
Brock, what would make you retire?
I'm not ready for these type of questions right now. I mean, I'm just going to sit down, reflect on the season, probably talk to my teammates. We fought all year long, all the receivers, running backs, linemen. I mean, we put all the work in together, so... Well, I'm just going to reflect on the season, proud of the boys, and just see what happens.
So that was Gronk at the Super Bowl talking about retirement. Started there. It started even before the game. Nice. His people leak out even before the game. And so, yes, Scott Zolak, others have said that was a contract ploy from day one. So here we are now, 9 days from training camp, and according to Adam Schefter, that Gronkowski is expected to report to Patriots training camp July 25th, on time per source. Mike Reese says he's already there. Already there. So, does that mean he has a contract? And it worked? Did he pressure the team into getting him more money? Who caved? Or did Gronkowski just show up and pay for the money that he's already due? Or somewhere in the middle? Took a little bit more, but not a lot more.
I mean, I think there's a new deal. That's what I think. Or a modified deal is a better way to say it.
I mean, would you give him more years? Would you give him the amount of money, you know, the kind of guaranteed money where it would necessitate extra years?
I mean, would I? Sure. But they won't. Not in a million years. Because, again, look, if he's already talking about retirement, what are they going to do? Like, unless there is some sort of, again, wink, wink, nod, nod, Gronk, can you commit to 3 more years? You going to give us 3 more if you're healthy? Well, then we'll redo the deal. But we want 3 years all in.
And again, as I stated earlier, I would not pay him like a receiver. If he wants to be paid like a receiver, I wouldn't do it. I would not do it. I'd make him the highest paid tight end because, again, it's only going to take $1 million to get him over Jimmy Graham. Graham makes $10 million a year. Gronkowski's making $9 million. So you give him $1 extra million, he's the highest paid tight end. That should be it. That should be it. I would not pay him like a receiver.
I'd get Gronk to 12 or 13. That's what he deserves.
Can I give you the highest paid receivers in the game and you tell me if you would pay it or not, if they're worth it?
Sure.
Antonio Brown, $17 million.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mike Evans, $16.5 million.
Nope.
No.
DeAndre Hopkins, $16.2 million.
Yep.
DeAndre Hopkins, that's Houston, right?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yes. You're crazy. He's awesome.
He's good. He's good. Yes. He's a yes for me. Sammy Watkins is 16.
No.
No. And I like him, but that's ridiculous.
The 1, 2, 3, the fifth highest paid receiver in the game is Jarvis Landry with the Browns.
Oh, I love him, though.
I love Jarvis Landry. As the fifth highest paid receiver in the game?
Well, he's overpaid. But yes. And no, on this team, I would do it.
Yeah.
So just quickly, you're going AAV, right?
Yeah. He's my favorite player. He's my favorite player on this list so far.
You know who you have to... Well, go ahead.
And I just... I don't know.
What market his, dictates the value. I mean...
What are his touchdown numbers? He feels to me like a possession guy over... You know, is he a... Is, yeah, look it up. Is Jarvis Landry a touchdown maker? Or is it even hard to tell with Ryan Tannehill or whatever, you know, slop of crap is throwing you the ball down there in Miami?
Geez.
How can you even tell?
It's going to be low.
It's just he's not that kind of guy.
Most touchdowns he's had in the season is 9 last year.
Well, I mean, that's a good number.
That's higher than I thought.
That's a good number. All right, anyway, sixth highest receiver is A.J. Green, $15
million. No.
I hate A.J. Green. That's just the kind of outside receiver I can't stand. The next highest is Davante Adams with Green Bay, $14.5 million.
No.
No.
Julio Jones at 14.2.
Yes.
He's underpaid.
Big time. Big time. Jimmy Graham at 10. Is he worth it?
No.
No, nope, not anymore. I agree. Travis Kelce at 9.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Jordan Reed at 9.
Yes. No. When he's healthy.
In Washington?
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good when he's healthy.
Okay, then comes Gronk at 9. So Travis Kelce is 9.36. Jordan Reed is 9.35. Gronk is just 9. And Greg Olson is 8.5.
Gronk should be, I told you, based on the Graham contract, and I know that is, Gronk to me should be between 12 and 13. I'd go that much. I think he's that much better than everybody else. He's 25% better than anybody else in the league.
Why would you blow through the market like that? Like,
because.
Why would you blow through the ceiling if you're the Patriots?
Show of good faith for the player.
For a guy who's threatened retirement, purposely held out of all the offseason workouts, sort of taunted you when he held out of the offseason workouts by holding motocross press conferences just down the hall and sort of mocking the offseason program, who is swimming with sharks and, you know, all of this stuff. That's a guy that you deserve. He deserves a show of good faith.
So then you wouldn't sign Brady either. Threatened retirement, mocked you, hasn't shown up. What else?
No, I'm paying Brady. Because you traded the other guy and, you know, what are you going to do? You backed yourself into this corner. So you go all in with the other guy. You have to now. You have to now. It's quarterback. He's got you by the short ones. But, I mean, I see what you're saying. It's a similar thought process. You're right. You're right. I'm not being consistent on that one. I don't know. I'm with the team when a tight end wants to be paid like a receiver or a safety wants to be paid like a corner or Le'Veon Bell a running back. Running back.
You believe in the caste system.
Well, I just think that you are what you are. You're a tight end. You're not a receiver.
Sure.
And so you get paid like a tight end. You don't get paid like a receiver. That's not the way it works. And so I'm just with the team on that one.
Yeah, I just think that Gronk's an exception. He's maybe the best player at his position of all time. In fact, he probably is. And so there should be a little bit of a gap there, and I think it would be a show of good faith. And just quickly, as you were rattling off that list of receivers, you know who you now have to add to that list? At $16 million per.
Oh, is Brandon Cooks $16 million? Is that what he got today?
5 years, $80 million. So please ask.
Would you pay him $16 million a year?
No. Murray?
No, please.
Tell me that's not ridiculous.
Overrated again, stats.
Nice little player, but.
$16 million bucks a year for Brandon Cooks?
Joke.
Oh, God, laughable. Laughable for that kind of contract. And so, look, the more I think about it, DeAndre Hopkins is big, too, right?
He's not huge, but decent size. He's rangy. I think, like, his catch radius is. Or maybe he's just that sick. I feel like he's got a tremendous catch radius.
6'1".
Okay, so
not huge, right?
I want a guy with some size that can catch a ball in traffic and in the end zone if I'm going to be paying him big kinds of dollars. The one exception I will give is Antonio Brown because he is so freaking good with his feet that it doesn't matter. Like, he just filthy. He's an exception to the rule. But most everybody else, I want a big target or someone who's really tough.
So, again, camp begins a week from Thursday, and I just wonder, is this Gronk news the first sign that we've had a detente, that things are coming together? And I keep telling you, I predicted before the Super Bowl that they'd squared away shortly after the Super Bowl. Certainly by the spring program, certainly by that mandatory mini camp in June. I thought all that stuff would be squared away, and it hasn't. So I've been wrong, but I'm just going to keep being wrong, I guess. And I think, you know, there's a chance here that Gronk gets signed, Brady gets signed, they get extra years, extra guaranteed money, and that's a sign that they've figured out their internal stuff and they've come to Jesus on Alex Guerrero and his role with the team, and maybe Kraft's in the middle of it where he presents himself as the guy that saved the day. Like, I still think like that's all sort of in the cards. And does it make sense for them to do it before training camp even starts?
See, I think it just has to be done before the season starts.
So that camp is going to have these sort of overhanging questions about Brady's contract. When you're signing him, where's his money? Where's Brady's money? Are Brady and Belichick, you know, are they interacting on the field, which they didn't do in the spring? Like, all this stuff, you think that's going to be taking place the first week of camp?
Yep.
Yeah, and they'll just continue to ignore it like they always do.
I mean,
I'm not worried about it tearing apart the team. I just think it's just a natural line of demarcation to go into the first day of training camp with everyone on the same page.
Yeah, so the Brady contract one's a big one. If Brady doesn't have a contract, you know, by next Thursday, you think that's a major story?
Yes.
Okay, see, I think it's more of a major story if he doesn't have one by the start of the season. One of those years, didn't he sign like right at the end of the preseason?
I can't remember.
My recollection was he did. It happened like, you know, a little before the start of the year. So to me, that's when they better get their ducks in a row. Because I just look at Brady and say, Brady can't take mini camp seriously. All of a sudden, the first week of training camp is some sort of deadline. I think it's the start of the year. I think even the preseason for Brady is a burden or a chore at this stage of his career. But the games he will take seriously.
Oh, I don't know. It seemed like when Garoppolo was going to start a couple of years ago, Brady sure took that preseason seriously. In fact, he asked, Jimmy Garoppolo asked, A-S-S-E-D, asked. That's a verb, adverb, whatever that is. He asked him out of the huddle on the sidelines. He didn't let poor Jimmy Garoppolo even look at the plays when Josh McDaniels. It seemed like Brady took the preseason pretty damn seriously a couple of years ago, Maz.
Yeah, don't get me going on the quarterbacks.
So now all of a sudden the preseason's a burden?
Huh. Yeah, because his job's not at stake.
Well, that's a switch. Here's Murray's update. Your phone's in the final final segment right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, wrapping up with your phones, as promised, our buddy Dakota's in Braintree. Hi, Dakota.
Hey, so I was going to talk about how bad the Patriots' upcoming season potentially could be with all this narrative that's going on. It's pretty much the worst, I think, off season in the last 15 to 17 years. We could say that, right?
It's up there, yeah.
It's definitely up there. Okay, so before I get to that, you're talking about Rob Gronkowski, Felger, and you keep saying, well, he's a tight end. He doesn't deserve this. Now, think about this for a second. If you were to throw Gronkowski into with the receivers and then just redraft them and scaled it from AB on the way down to the 20th guy to maybe 8 or 9 million, Gronkowski would definitely be making more than what he's making this year. Would you at least agree with that?
I mean, if you're taking away the positions, yes, but you can't do that.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So what you're saying is the wide receiver position is a lot more valuable by, what, 60 to 80% based upon those salaries than the tight end position?
Sure.
Does that sound?
Yep.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. When they line up and Antonio Brown or, you know, A.J. Green or whoever is, you know, split wide and there's a running play, are those guys doing anything on the outside?
No, they're
on
not.
A play?
Nope.
They're not. A tight end, even when he's not being thrown to, has to block for the running game to succeed. You could easily argue that the tight end, a good one like Gronk, a great one, does more than any split-out wide receiver throughout the entire game.
So then what you're saying is that the entire league has it wrong, and it's up to the and it should be Gronkowski and the Patriots to reset the entire market for the position.
Well, You don't have to reset it until you're forced to reset it, right? These tight ends, the thing that Gronk has going against him is the punishment that this guy takes. So if you want to utilize him like Antonio Brown, he's going to be dead after four games, okay? And you can't. So you have to limit his reps. So you get the most out of him, and you go to him only when you really need to go to him, like in the second half of a Super Bowl when you're getting demolished.
So this is a good point. They definitely pull their punches with Rob Gronkowski. It's like,
yeah.
Well, but you know, but that's not a good thing for him, Dakota. And thank you for the call. He's maybe the greatest tight end who's ever played, and he's more impactful than most of those receivers on the list. I'm not arguing that. I'm telling you that I wouldn't want to be the team that resets the entire pay scale at a position. I don't want to be that team, and especially for a guy who you have to monitor injury wise. What is Rob Gronkowski's most effective play? Can I tell you what it is?
The play up the seam.
Up the left seam. Either play action or Brady looking off the safety to the right, back down the left seam to Rob Gronkowski.
I'll even give you the right seam. I'll take either one.
That go where he's just going straight down the seam, and they've either run some play action or some sort of look off, and it's usually backside. That to me has always felt like the big play. What are all the plays that Gronkowski's gotten hurt on?
Seam plays.
The TJ Ward hit was on that seam route. The one where he thought he was hurt in Denver was on that seam route. The concussion that he got against Jacksonville was down the field. You can't run that play.
Seattle.
Yeah, the Seattle game.
The Earl Thomas, same thing.
Right, that was on the right seam. A couple of those were on the right.
A lot of them were on the right. So it's like, that's the money play. That's the play that's there. That's Gronkowski. You know how many times he's gotten hurt on that play? If I'm the Patriots, I'm not running that thing in the first 8 weeks of the year. So, like, you even have to monitor and manage how you're using him.
Okay, but again, you said it yourself earlier that the reason why tight ends are lesser paid than most positions is because they don't have the receptions. Most of those guys just don't catch the ball with frequency, not because not because they're trying to protect them. They just don't have the hands. Or the Gronk does. So to me, this is why he's unique. He has got the hands and, you know, of a wide receiver, the speed of a decent wide receiver. He's got the size and brawn of a tight end.
I get all this. I'm just telling you that if the market has it wrong, then the market has it wrong. You think the Patriots are going to be the team to correct the market on the upside for the player? Are you nuts?
Okay, on this guy, I'm telling you that for 1 year they should do it.
Okay, they won't.
They're not going to give him a 5-year deal that pays him 15 a year.
But they're not going to get him up to the 15-16 range. They might get him to 11.
I don't think anything's going to happen. To me, this is another trade scare for Gronk and his agent. Because if you think of what happened after the whole motocross nonsense, a few days afterwards, we find out it turned out that him and Drew Rosenhaus, that's his agent, right? They met with Belichick. And how about that? We have Instagram posts from Gronk and everything seems to be fine and copacetic. He's back on the reservation and he trusts coach and so on and so forth. This to me is, hey, you know, and this is coming from Greg Bedard writing in Boston Sports Journal a couple of weeks ago, by the way. Hey, remember the track record here with Bill Belichick. He's traded Richard Seymour. He's traded Logan Mankins. Guys can go sometime toward the end of training camp.
You bet.
To me, this is, hey, you know, you are back on board, right? Because if not, Bill's still going to trade your ass sometime between now and the end of camp.
And the most delicious part of Bedard's post last week is that it's now at a point where Brady can't threaten retirement because we're too close to it, insinuating that all that mishigas from a couple weeks ago, the Adam Kirkjian stuff, there was some actual validity to it, that they might have floated out Gronkowski trade rumors. Brady might have come in and said, well, if he's gone, then I don't know what I'm doing. And that whole thing, you know, Greg is sort of alluding to the fact that something like that actually happened. And this time, if they traded Gronkowski, well, now Brady can't pull out. It's too late.
Well, I've always wondered that. That if they did it, they would actually do it at the end of camp, as close to the season as possible. Because then they got Brady over a barrel. You're in camp. You said you were going to play. Now you're going to leave?
Nope. Walk away. Oh, I would beg him to walk away.
So all of this stuff, this little soap opera narrative that we're just going to pound into bloody submission.
Not over yet.
They can square it all away within this week.
They won't.
They've Gronkowski new contract, Brady new contract. Let's see Brady and Belichick on the field together. Let's see Kraft in between them all. And you're all a bunch of idiots and you overplayed a bunch of nonsense. And it's, you know, no days off. Here we go. One for the thumb. That could easily happen in the next week. You know that.
Okay, so someone's going to let Brady know about the meeting. Where is he? Anyone know?
He's in Costa Rica.
Yeah,
is he in South America or is he over on a boat in Monaco?
Well, I think it's technically Central America.
Okay, Central America. So fine. He's sub-equator.
In fact, TMZ Sports literally just posted a new photo of Tom and Giselle in Costa Rica. His body? Kind of flabby.
Yeah, no, I saw it. I think it's unfortunate that that's flabby. If that's flabby, we're in a hell of a lot of trouble.
Murray, if you're saying flabby, given your absolute lust for Brady, then I'm going to go so far as to say he's fat.
You should look this up.
No, if it's one, can you point it to me real quick?
The one with the green shorts?
Yeah, I think so.
Keep the picture right there. I'm going to come over and look.
Okay. Really it's pathetic. I can and can't mess with in this new studio.
Oh, no, hold on. Oh, I haven't seen that one.
You should come look at
it. He looks fat.
There's some dough going on
here. Oh, yeah, no.
This
fat.
Is like me getting out of the shower.
No, he's fat.
It's not that bad. Murray, that is not you getting out of the shower.
He looks like Mickelson.
Oh, and I just lost my screen.
Okay, that's fine, but we saw the picture. And it's not that bad. Would you stop with that?
I think he's fat.
He's not fat.
He's fat.
He's not fat.
It's sad that a photo of Brady and Giselle, I'm looking at Brady. Fat.
Oh, boy.
Did he put on a pound or two?
10.
Would you stop that? Now, that's just not fair. Did he put on a pound or two?
5.
Did he put on a pound or two?
That 5. Could be that liquor bloat just trying to deal with his problems of a coach that he hates, a job he doesn't want to do anymore.
Telling you.
Do we know that he's showing up for sure?
Yeah, he was probably drinking Dom Perignon on the boat in Monaco.
Stop for a second. What, Jimmy?
I asked, do we know if Tom Brady for sure is showing up this week?
Is there a reason you're asking me that question?
To be that guy on the radio?
He's showing up next week.
You're sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
Yes. No one's told me that, but... that's what's happening. We're so big, we have 2 Mike and Wilburns. Here's the other Mike and Wilburn. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
Anyways, I got a couple of points on the All-Stars. The first point is, you got to tape it. That way there you can enjoy Bryce Harper hamming it up with the camera guy. And then you can also watch the female announcer entice Mookie Betts to go out and shag some flies. The other thing that I really want to say is, you know, why get rid of the All-Star game? All these stars, they're prima donnas. They want to be loved. And here's the thing for you. You don't think Moreland is ecstatic about being elected to the All-Star game?
I don't care. I don't care about Moreland. What do I care about Moreland?
Me neither.
I don't care about Chris Sale.
I mean, if it were up to me, Moreland wouldn't be there.
And by the way, if Chris Sale has started the last 2 All-Star games, I would look at him and go, dude, why do you really want to, you really still want to keep doing this? Maybe you want to spend a couple days with your family, not throw the baseball.
Oh, I bet you he'd rather be home with his family.
So skip this damn thing.
I'm telling
thing.
You, just about every veteran player there who's ever been to one is saying, you know, 1's enough, maybe 2, that's it, I'm good.
Bag out of the thing.
Oh, they would all skip out on it if they could, believe me, except for the guys who've never been before. Moreland, he probably is happy. His career, he's lucky to be there.
This is Tucker, I believe, in Salisbury. Go ahead, Tucker.
Hey, how are you?
We're good. What do you got?
Hey, so I'm a 21-year-old person right now in Salisbury, Mass. And I'm hearing your take on the All-Star game. I just want you guys to know that me and all my friends, man, we're hyped about this All-Star game. I mean, you got Moreland in on his first All-Star game. You got Sale taking the mound tonight.
Hold on 1 second, Tucker.
I mean,
are you really 21?
Yep, 21 years old.
Okay. You're still on it in the demo.
Yeah, I can drink now, Falco.
You know what? You know what? You might think I'm fried. People say I smoke a lot of cigarettes. I don't know.
I'm going to let him go.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. That guy's 21.
Yeah, Felga, we're pumped for it. Me and my friends, we're pumped for it. We're going to get some Coke and some chips, and we're going to sit and watch the All-Star game. The socks are everywhere, Felga.
I don't want to start watching a TV show in Murray. I can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, Mookie's got the first at-bat, Sale's pitching, and JD's batting 4th.
But I can't watch the game. I got 5 minutes of the Derby last night. I did do that. Dave and Wellesley, go ahead, Dave.
Tucker and Salisbury, you're a psychopath. You're an absolute psychopath. But I'm 21 years old and I watch. I'd rather count the freckles on my dog's ball sack than watch the all. What are you high? I wanted to pivot to Brady. Michael, do you think the OTAs in preseason have any consequential effect on the regular season? Like one iota.
Well, no, not the actual games themselves or the practices themselves. But I do think being in the building has a benefit. I don't care about the preseason games, but I think that the film work, being with your teammates.
I feel like the rhetoric the past couple of months, if you've made it sound like the OTAs and the preseason are these consequential events, when in reality, by my opinion, is I think Brady could watch film and show up on Sundays. Yeah. They still go 14-2.
And I think it's only your opinion because he's not doing it. When he's there, when he's the first one in the building, you tell me how important it is and how that's Tom Brady. And that's why Tom Brady's Tom Brady, because he's the first one in the building in March when he doesn't have to be. That's what I think about you, Dave. I think you think it's not important now because Brady's not showing up.
Well, no, actually, I don't think that. I think people change, Michael. And I think, you know, like, just because, you know, you used to be fat, now you're skinny. You know, like, you've changed. You know, it's like Brady is maybe changing. Maybe he's getting a little more surly and grumpy and wants to maybe spend a little more time. But my point being is the effect going to change? No.
Well, no, the Jets are still going to suck and you're going to win those games. And the Bills are still going to suck and you're going to win those games. So, like, in that regard, I guess the wins are still going to go on the board against those bad teams. But at the end of the day, will you be the same team? Will you be as good as you can be? And sorry, I think the offseason is important. I've always thought the offseason was important, and so did you, you frauds.
He's right, though. You were fat. Now you're skinny. And to further prove the point, Brady used to be skinny. Now he's fat.
That ain't fat. If that's fat, we're in a hell of a lot of trouble.
How about a little doughy?
I'll just say they gained a pound.
They?
He gained.
Looks fine.
She looks terrific. But you know what? It is.
He gained more than a pound.
That's like 1 or 2 pounds, dude. That's not.
Oh, no. He gained more than that. Look at his belly.
Okay, we'll go back and look at it.
Marshmallow man.
The final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Right. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nope.
All right. So two pieces of sound of the final word today. We're going to be doing best ofs throughout the week. In fact, just a tease to let you know that you'll want to tune into this tomorrow because we'll relive one of the great arguments in Sports Hub history between Adam Jones and a former coworker, Nick Cattles,
thank God,
discussing the possibility of last year's Patriots team going 19.
Oh, I love that. That's a good one.
But with that, let's relive Felger versus Bedard and, what was then the new venture for Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, and whether or not it would be clickbait.
This wasn't good. I'm also dubious about the raising the bar business. I'm like, we're not going to do clickbait.
I never said raise the bar.
Higher level of journalism?
No. I just said we're not doing clickbait. And we're not doing contrived opinions.
What is a contrived opinion? What I mean, you either have an opinion or you don't. If you have an opinion, Greg, that you really feel but is somehow negative or contrarian or something, you're not going to do it because that's perceived as being contrarian?
No. If we have an opinion on something,
do you think there's a lot of fake?
We will have.
Do you think there are a lot of fake opinions out there
in sports journalism today? Hell yes.
In Boston, I don't. I think there's very few people in this market who say things they don't mean. I really don't. I think there's very little contrived opinion. I think certainly you'll get behind a mic and maybe exaggerate, and the delivery is, you know, certainly we can all get sort of goofy. But I don't say things I don't believe. I know Maz doesn't say things he doesn't believe.
Why are you so sensitive about this?
Because I take it when I hear, you know, we're not going to do that. That's a hot take. Culture, like, okay, so let's just sit around and not try and think differently or say anything interesting.
No. That's a hell of a way to plug the man's new venture at the time.
No, listen, we're not going to say anything interesting
because
we don't want to be perceived as having a hot take. So we're only going to have lukewarm, mediocre thoughts. We're not going to try and think differently at all because we don't want to be called a hot take artist.
If I were Bedard, I'd be baiting the hell out of him. That's what I'd be doing.
Of course.
We also had this today. Guess who Felger bumped into on the island?
Mm-hmm. Bill's been on the islands.
Sure right? has. I passed him on the bike path the other day.
How did that go?
I did wave to him.
He spit at you?
I'm not going to tell you where he was. I don't want to blow his spot. But this is what Bill does. This is true. He sings. He's got earbuds in. And
Tommy used to work on the dock.
I don't know what he was saying. Is he's going this way, I'm going that.
Union went on strike.
But I swear to God, this is the second time I've done it. I've passed him on this bike path.
We'll give it a shot.
And this time I saw him coming from a mile away, so I got a little obnoxious. I was sort of waving at my bike. Like, Bill! Bill! And so maybe he sings purposely to throw people off so people won't stop him and talk to him. I'm busy singing. But he sings. He rides his bike and he sings.
Felger is a raging a-hole. Pass me on his bike. I gave him the finger. He sucks.
So, yeah, he's singing something. I can't tell what it is.
Mike sucks. Yeah.
That's a smart plan on his behalf, though. If you sing or if you act nuts, no one's really going to bother you.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.